In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, top of the morning to all of you. And as always, we like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. She's the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and she's the Mother of each and every one of us. So as we start off our conversation, let's start by praying the prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Mary greeted by the Archangel Gabriel with the good news that she would be the Mother of the Lord. So let's pray, my friends, the prayer that Mary loves most. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to pray the prayer to our spiritual director. What a blessing it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles we have for the Holy Spirit are the following. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. It's also known, taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, he is the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. Our consoler, but also he's our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. We read in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to give us a lot of light, and to set our hearts on fire with the love of God. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit. They shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Patrick, pray for us. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. So after having prayed with you, I promise that I'll be praying for you when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass later on today. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is the prayer par excellence, the greatest of all prayers. So, my friends, I'd like to offer these following intentions. First, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit, and that we could pray as such: come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for our families, for the conversion of our family members, the sanctification of our family members, and the salvation of our family members. Our Lord says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Finally, I'd like to pray with all of you. Pray with all of you for those who will be dying sometime today, that especially deathbed sinners, that they would open their hearts to God's infinite mercy. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So, my friends, as always, let's start off with our catechetical brief instruction. As you know, we've been going through the Catechism since the beginning of the year, and we've gone through the Apostles' Creed. Now we're going step by step through the life in Christ, which is the third pillar of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And this is where we're going through the Ten Commandments. Last week we spoke about the word Decalogue, Decalogos, which means the ten words from God. We enumerated the Ten Commandments. We divided the Ten Commandments into the vertical part and the horizontal part. The vertical dimension would be our relationship to God. The horizontal, the last seven, our relationship to our brothers and sisters and our personal relations. Then we entered into the different parts of the First Commandment related to how we can grow and live out the First Commandment and the others by the virtue of faith. We spoke about faith. Faith is one of the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. By growing in faith, we're putting into practice the First Commandment. Faith is believing in a God that we don't see. Faith is a virtue that's infused in our souls at the moment of baptism. Faith is also a virtue that has to be cultivated by making acts of faith. So every time we pray, we're growing in faith because prayer is praying to a God that we don't see. Also by making acts of faith, by praying, by making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, by going to church, visiting the Blessed Sacrament, by making a reverential communion. These are all ways in which we can be fortifying the virtue of faith. Even when we undergo trials, as we mentioned the example of the crow, rather the eagle, we also mentioned Peter's sinking in the waves and crying out, Lord, save me. And Jesus says, man of little faith. He stretches out his hand, grabs onto Peter, then Peter's able to walk on the water. We mentioned also a beautiful prayer that we can say to fortify the three theological virtues. That would be, Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my hope. Lord, strengthen my love. Beautiful prayer. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my hope. Lord, strengthen my love. So faith is a virtue that's fortified by practice. That's right. Faith is a virtue that's fortified by practice. As we say, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. And as the young people say, if you don't use it, then you lose it. You want to get muscles, you have to lift weights. We have to do spiritual exercises also. So there we have our catechetical reflection today, building upon the commandments and the first commandment, how to fortify, strengthen our faith by making acts of faith and by praying. By prayer to God, we're strengthening our faith. And that is a good prayer, that of Peter. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. All right, a heads up. Yesterday we celebrated, would have been the feast of St. Patrick, who was a missionary to Ireland, planted the faith in among the Irish people. March 18th is the feast day of St. Cyril of Jerusalem. But then tomorrow, my friends, a heads up, tomorrow we celebrate the Solemnity of St. Joseph. St. Joseph is the greatest of all the saints. We celebrate St. Joseph May 1st, which would be St. Joseph the Worker. But actually tomorrow is the Solemnity of St. Joseph, the husband of Mary. St. Joseph, the husband of Mary. So let's get ready to celebrate this great, the greatest of all saints. And Jose Maria Escobar points out that he was not a scribe, he was not a Pharisee, he was not a Sadducee, he was not a man with a doctorate or a degree in philosophy. Saint Joseph was simply a father and a husband. And he carried out the ordinary things of daily life. And as Saint Therese points out, that holiness does not depend upon doing great things, but holiness depends on doing the ordinary things of daily life with extraordinary love. So let's try to fortify our devotion to good Saint Joseph. Ask Saint Joseph to bless our families with love. To bless the husbands that they would be faithful to their wives. Bless the fathers that they would educate their children in the ways of God. Saint Joseph indeed is Saint Teresa of Avila says he works very fast. He's the universal saint for all intentions. So let's pray to good Saint Joseph that he will help us to love God all the more. The other day in my Mass, my Spanish Mass, I gave a relatively short homily on prayer, and I spoke about what's called a triple colloquy. St. Ignatius Loyola, when he presents to us the two standards, he presents what is called a triple colloquy. A prayer to Saint Joseph. And they said, pray to Saint Joseph that we love Mary all the more. Then the second colloquy would be to pray to Mary. Pray to Mary that we love her son Jesus all the more. And the third part of the colloquy would be to pray to Jesus that we love God the Father all the more. That's called a triple colloquy. So you might even try to do that when you're praying. You can pray to one person, but then you can pray to the second person. Then you can pray to the third person. Then prayer is not a straitjacket, because also prayer can be such that we pray to the three at the same time. The freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So my friends, what I'd like to do today is give you a summary of the readings. This is my style, to give you a summary of the readings, an interpretation of the readings, and then a practical application of the readings. The first reading today, and the gospel, there's a real parallel in it. And it's related to adultery and accusation. So I'll give you a summary of the reading, then we'll try to dive in to glean some spiritual golden nuggets to meditate upon. First reading today is one of the longest, if not the longest, first reading you have in the Mass, and is taken from the book of Daniel. I'd like to give you a summary of it, and then we have John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in adultery, and she's placed before Christ by the Pharisees and the scribes who want this woman to be condemned, but they're basically planting a trap for Jesus. But the first reading, my friend, is very interesting. I'd like to really summarize it for you. And it's the famous story taken from one of the major prophets. And this major prophet is Daniel. And it's the story of the chaste Susanna. Susanna was a prayerful, holy Jewess, married to Elkanah. She was a wife and a mother. She was very pious, very prayerful, but also very attractive. And she and her husband had a certain amount of wealth. They owned a big home and a plantation. At the same time, you have these Jewish elders who were the judges of the people. We see in them one of the major defects, I might say, in the modern world, is that as a result of original sin, we have these bad tendencies within us. They're called the capital sins. Aquinas would call it concupiscence. And they are gluttony and lust and avarice and sloth and anger and envy. And that of pride. Those are the capital sins. And if we do not control them, they will control us. we don't dominate them, then they will dominate us. Either we become slaves of our sins or we experience the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So what happens is these elders, they are aware of the beauty of Susanna. They do not live out what was the promise of the holy man Job. He made a pact with his eyes not to look upon a maiden. We have this from the book of Job. He made a pact with his eyes not to look on a maiden. These elders did not observe that even in the least. So they start to spy on Susanna. They look at her through the lattices. They're spying her. And lusting after her. And this lust takes total possession of the three of these men. They're in cahoots against Susanna. She's not even aware of it. They're spying. So to speak, through the gates, looking at her, lusting after her. So, the day arrives where they want to take advantage of her. She's with her maidens, and they rush in upon her and want to have relations with her. She cries out. She cries out. Then they cry out. And to make a long story short, they condemn this innocent woman of having committed adultery. She totally innocent, but they condemn her of committing adultery. So I'm giving you a short version of this passage where you can read for yourself in the book of Daniel. So they condemn her to death because of adultery. You probably know that the Mosaic law, if a woman were caught in adultery, she would receive the death penalty. That's right. She would receive the death penalty if she were caught in the act of adultery. So, they bring her to court and they condemn her by saying that she was with a young man. And these elders entered in. And when they entered in, the young man ran off. They tried to catch him, but he was too young and strong and fleet of foot. But they encountered Susanna in the act of adultery. Therefore, she deserves the death penalty. She deserves to be stoned to death. See how God works. So God raises up the young Daniel. And Daniel goes into the court. And Daniel basically, what he does is he asks the elders questions. Where were you? Under what tree were you? And they lied under oath, called perjury. And he says, your lust will cost you your own life. So Daniel points out the lie, the perjury of these three elders that were accusing an innocent woman. And they were put to death and given the death sentence that they wanted to mete out upon the chaste and innocent Susanna. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. I'd like to pull out three lessons or messages that we can glean from the story of chaste Susanna encountered in the book of Daniel. Number one is, we have to watch over our eyes. Our eyes are the mirror of our soul. I'd like to tell you another story. This is a story from a saint. One of the most loved and famous saints of the modern world is Padre Pio, the miracle man of Pietrelcina. And there's a story in the life of Padre Pio where this blind man comes to Padre Pio. Padre Pio asked the blind man, "What do you like? What would you like?" The blind man says, "I want to see." And Padre Pio says this: "I can obtain for you your sight but if I do, then you will lose your soul." "Do you choose?" So the blind man decided to remain blind the rest of his life so that he would be able to contemplate the face of God. The face of God in heaven for all eternity. So that's a story in the life of Padre Pio. Another example of the danger inherent of not controlling our eyes, allowing wandering eyes and curiosity to get the best of us, can be found in the second book of Samuel with King David. King David allowed his eyes to wander. And he alighted upon Bathsheba. Bathsheba was taking a bath. David, like these elders, allowed his eyes to wander. He focused upon this woman. He gave in to his lustful tendencies. He brought Bathsheba to come to his palace. He had sexual relations with her. Bathsheba gets pregnant. She gets pregnant. David tries to attribute this to her husband. He won't go down to be with her. And David ends up by killing the husband of Bathsheba, Urias. So there we see the same idea. Is that the elders in Susanna did not control their eyes, nor their imagination, nor their mind, nor their passions. So the first point I'd like to underline is we should pray for the grace to control ourselves, control our eyes, not to allow our eyes to wander. The second point I'd like to highlight, with the help of Sophie, our secretary today, would be, I think all of us should make a concerted effort, especially in Lent, but also the rest of our lives, to have a very, very strict vigilance and control. Vigilance and control over the use of social media. True that right now you're following me on Facebook, some of you follow me later on YouTube, and I'm trying to use these platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, to preach the gospel message. But as St. Ignatius of Loyola points out in Principle and Foundation, that we should try to use social media. We should try to use the gifts of creation for the honor and glory of God. And we should not abuse. So there's a big difference between using for the honor and glory of God, for our sanctification and salvation, as well as that of others. And not allow ourselves to abuse. Because, as you read in the book of Genesis, everything that God created is good. Very good. But we can abuse rather than abuse. And the third message we should pray for is the following. Pray to live out the beatitude that you can find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8, it's one of the eight beatitudes. And that is, Jesus says, Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So we can all pray for the grace and the gift to live out the virtue of purity or chastity. I invite you also to pray in a special way. Pray in a special way, my friends, for the young people. We have in our confirmation program about 350 teenagers. And about half of them will be making their confirmation in the month of May. Pray for the young people. Pray for the young people. You know what we've done over the years is we offer retreats for young people. One we've done over the years is it's a chastity retreat that usually culminates in a beautiful, beautiful mass. In a very, very beautiful mass, which we celebrate for the young people December 8th or December 12th. December 8th would be, of course, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. December 12th would be, of course, Our Lady of Guadalupe. The Immaculate Conception, or Mary conceived without sin. Pray for us, have recourse to Thee. And as Valerie is pointing out, wow, that's a great retreat for our teenagers. That's right. That's right. And as Bob points out, yes, it's big numbers. We're dealing with about 350 huge numbers. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And what we do is we give them a talk on this topic. And then, in the context of the Mass in honor of Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the Immaculate Conception, or Our Lady of Guadalupe, in the context of that, we give to our young people an exterior sign. That exterior sign is the boys, we've given them a cross to wear around their necks. But in the past, we were able to buy for the girls a ring, which they put on their index finger, the ring finger. And the ring is basically this type of ring. Of course, it's not as big as this. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to Thee. So this is a ring. It's a ring in which they place on their ring finger. They wear this ring in which they can see the image of Mary whenever they look at their ring. This is powerful. So they got the ring in their finger. And over the years, even though young people don't always like to hear this, we have to avoid the near occasion of sin. Because he who plays with fire will get burnt. He who walks in a slippery slope will fall. He who plays in danger will perish in danger. He who walks on thin ice will fall in. Hey, the young people, hold off on having, as they say in Spanish, noviazgo. Noviazgo would be a Spanish word which means, probably translated best, courtship. Holding off on their courtship. In other words, place a premium on young people on their relationship with God, with their families, as well as with their friends, but not to establish a one-on-one courtship. If you're 12, 13, 14, 15, you're just too young. And then you get emotionally engaged, then you fall in love, then you're tempted, you fall into sin. And very often during the confirmation year, there's a girl that gets pregnant. We know this. The book of Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything underneath the sun. There's a time there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. There's a time to laugh, there's a time to weep. There's a time for peace, there's a time for war. There's a time for everything underneath the sun. There's a time to have courtship and there's a time not to have a courtship. There's a time to get married and a time not to get married. There's a time for everything underneath the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So trying to explain to all of you the chaste Susanna from the book of Daniel, trying to connect this to the virtue of chastity for the young people. So the girls get this chastity ring and the boys a cross around their neck. So, when they're tempted, and we all get temptations, that's part of living. When they're tempted to commit sins against this virtue, then they have this constant reminder around their finger. That's right. They tend to have this constant reminder around their finger. And it's not, as we said, it's not going to be as big as this. But they will see the image of Our Lady of Grace, of the Blessed Mother. How important it is having reminders. These are called sacramental to remind us of God, to warn us against temptations, to remind us of our commitments, to remind us of our promises, to remind us of our eventual judgment. How easy it is when we're to be swept away by our passions. And I've preached this many, many times. We should not follow our passions or our feelings. That's right. We should not follow our passions and our feelings, but we should follow both faith and reason. What does God say and want? What does intelligence teach us? And Mary Jo has pointed out, confession, frequent confession gives me reminders. Very well said. So my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. We've had a very good conversation today on the book of Daniel, the exoneration of the chaste Susanna through Daniel. We've tried to apply this also to the overall virtue of chastity, and also how we can apply this to our young people. How we can pray for them that they'll be able to live out this very challenging virtue. And once again, as I said earlier, tomorrow is the feast day of Saint Joseph. He can also help us to practice this beautiful, beautiful virtue of chastity. So thank you all. Share our message with many people. Share it with your young people. That we will grow to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I will give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you in a special way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.